Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
I'm going to read from Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Okay? And the word of God says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should be not enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with them. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with them to the wedding, and the door was shut. 11. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you.' 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And so, there's an important lesson that we can learn, you know, from these 10 virgins. See, the thing about these virgins is that both groups, they profess to have a love, right, for the appearance of their Lord. They were all there. They were there. They were ready. They had this spirit of expectancy. They had a love for the Lord. They were prepared. They were groomed. They were dressed. They had their lamps lit. They were there, right? But see, even though they were all of the same heart, there was a difference there, right? See, one was a radical one. Now, these are the ones that possessed an enduring principle of spiritual life, right? And then the other ones, only the want of it. And what I mean by that, let me explain it. So when you look at the prudent, right, these are the ones that you can compare to those of today that pray when they're not obligated to pray, right? These are the ones that study when no one tells them to study. These are the ones that forgive those that offend them. These are the ones that pray for those that of the people that commit injustice against them. These are the ones that love those that are rejected, right? These are the ones that live a life that long to please God, that want to please their Lord, right? And so the scary thing is when you look at the foolish ones, this one is really scary, right? Because if you look at it from the outside, everything looked right. And everything looked perfect. There was no problem and no error. They were there. They were ready. But see, they were at the right place at the right time. They were with the right people. They had the right desires, the right aspirations, and they had the same Lord. So then what was the issue? Right? What was the issue? And so the scary thing is that whole time while they were there, they thought they were okay. It wasn't until the coming of the Lord, it wasn't until the end that their foolishness was revealed to them, right? And I don't know about you guys, but that scares me as a Christian. Because, you know, Jesus said, he said, "Men, many on that day are going to come to me." This is a prophecy that Jesus said. He said, "Many are going to come to me on that day. And they're going to say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast demons in your name?'" Right? And Jesus is going to look at them and say, "Hey, get away from me, you doer of iniquity, for I never knew you." Right? That's a scary thought. You could be anointed by God. You could have every talent that you would need to serve God with power and signs and miracles and come before him one day and he says, "I never knew you." Like, that's a scary reality. That's what Jesus said, right? And so, you know, in life, we experience life, difficulties, hardships, right? We experience a loss of a family member. We experience abuse. We experience neglect, rejection, right? We come out of a lot of hurt places. And so in our hearts, we come to a place where really all we want is we just want to find a place where we belong. A place where we can be accepted and be loved just simply for who we are, right? And so we come to a place like the church. Now, we come to church because we're trying to find God, but once we get here, we see the people. We see the joy that they have. We hear their testimonies and their praise reports and how God is providing and God is doing all these things. And then other complexes begin to tell us, you know, you need to get that person to like you so you can fit in. You need to begin to do this so that you can get their attention, so they can acknowledge you. And so when we begin to come to church, we come because we want to see God, but really within our hearts, you know, there is a secret motive that even sometimes we're not aware of, right? And we just want to belong. And so, see, it's in that point where you could be with the right people and you could have the right desires and you could, you know, look and, you know, like a Christian, you could speak like a Christian. But at the end of the day, the scary thing is, you know, there's an error there, right? And so it's in the season where that part rises up and God really shows you where you're at. And see, what had happened with these virgins is they experienced something that's called a delay. They experienced a delay within their process of waiting. And within that delay, the Bible says that they fell asleep, right? So, see, as we begin to come, we begin to experience delays in our walk, right? It's like everything's going good. The kids are doing great, and then we come to find out, man, my kids are doing drugs, right? Everything's going good. I lose my job. I start going through all these different struggles. For some reason, no matter how hard I try, it's like I feel like I'm stuck and I have no way out. We begin to experience delays, right? And so, see, it's in those moments where we got to be careful, because if we're really not getting a hold of God, if we're not really living wholeheartedly onto Him, those are the most dangerous parts, because we will fall asleep spiritually and we won't be aware when the presence of God walks in, when the enemy's at the door, right? We won't be aware of it. We will try in our own strength to carry the weight that was meant for God to take, right? And so we got to be careful that we don't fall into that error. After the delay, both the wise and the foolish were able to trim their lamps. See, but the errors of the fools was that they did not make provisions against its exhaustion, right? They didn't make provisions for the exhaustion of it. And so this is where it really shows, right? I'm going to give you guys an example of something that I went through in life. You know, I had come into the home. I had graduated the home. I went to work. I was working as a mechanic in the shop. And at that moment, God began to speak to my heart. And He was telling me to go back to the home. He was telling me, go back to the home, go help out in the home. And so I quit my job. I go back to the home. And I'm there and I'm serving. And at that point, the leadership is in a season of transition. So while I'm there, one of the persons that was there, you know, that we didn't see eye to eye. And so he didn't like me. And so little by little, he pushed me out. And so I got to a point where I was just like, you know, I got to go. Now, when I left, I went back to work, and God prospered me, and God blessed me, and, you know, God continued to help me. But everything inside of me was dying, because God had called me to go serve at that home. And I knew that, because my heart was there, but everything in me was dying. And so, see, it was at that point that I began to really feel the weight of this delay. So what I did is I went and I started working 60 hours a week. On top of that, any kind of moment, any kind of minute that I had free, I would focus on ministry. I would do the street evangelism. I would do Bible studies. I would do everything, trying to really fill up my schedule. But at the end of the day, nothing could fulfill that. You know, but the beautiful thing was is prior to that, to the beginning of that delay, while I was in the home, it wasn't easy, but in that obscurity, I learned how to pray. I learned how to be intentional about my prayer life. I learned how to be intentional with my study life. I learned how to be intentional with teaching others the Word of God. And so because I began to build this within my own life, because nobody taught it to me, nobody came and said, hey, come here, bro, I'm going to show you how to pray. Nobody said, hey, come here, I'm going to teach you how to read the Bible. I'm going to teach you how to understand it. Nobody did it. You know, I sat there and I asked God. I said, I don't know what to do, but show me. And so because of that, it's because of that simplicity of just learning how to pray, how to read, and how to get into the presence of God, Even though that delay lasted 2 years, for 2 years, I felt like I was dying. For 2 years, I wanted to quit the ministry. For 2 years, I wanted to run away from God and everything that had to do with God. But it's because I learned how to pray that I was able to stand. It's because I learned how to read the word that I was able to find the heart of God for my season that I was in. And even though it was difficult, I was able to stand. You know, and I'm here today now, right? And so, for those of you that don't know, like, I'm not good at speaking in front of people, and I get anxiety. So if you guys ever feel like the calling of God and preaching and teaching the word of God, don't let anxiety or anything stop you. It's okay. God can use it. God can do great things, okay? And so, 1 Corinthians 3:11, 15 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it into light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." And so, you know, this to all of us that teach the word of God, that preach the word of God, we all share a responsibility of laying a foundation for people, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? His death, his resurrection, and his ascension, right? That's a responsibility that we share. But how you guys build on top of that, that is your individual responsibility. That is up to you. It is up to you whether or not you have an intimate relationship with God or not. It is up to you whether you're intentional about separating and finding the heart of God for whatever moment you're going through. It's up to you. At that point, we're doing our part. You got to do your part. You got to pray. You got to fast. You got to read the word of God. 1 John 2:27, it says, "As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real and not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him." You know, sometimes we want God to send us someone to teach us. And we're just like, "God, can you just send someone to teach me the word? Can you just send someone to teach me how to pray and how to do all these things? If you would just send me somebody, I'll do it." But see, we have the Holy Spirit. If you call out to the Holy Spirit, he will teach you, and he will develop you, and he will transform you, and he will empower you. Every single thing that you do, well, God will back up. You understand? You'll begin to worship, and the power of God will just flow into the room. You'll pray, and the Holy Spirit will begin to heal. You'll begin to speak, and you'll begin to see a shifting taking place within the atmosphere of that place if you allow the Holy Spirit to develop you. Right? We don't need a man to come and teach us. The Holy Spirit is always there, and he's willing. And so, if you guys want to stand, I just want to encourage you. Listen, we got to do our part. We got to live wholeheartedly unto God. We do, because it's on us. Amen. So, go ahead and close your eyes. I'm going to pray for you.